Hello and welcome to the 2024 season of Main Stage Productions here at the Miskatonic Playhouse. I'm T.A. Newman, your host. My team and I will be bringing to life adventures using the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu role-playing game, which contains mature themes, cosmic horror, character death, and loss of sanity. Our mystery can be found in the Miskatonic repository, where people like you and me can write an adventure for others to play. We'd like to thank Sirenscape, whose tools have helped provide the background sounds that you'd hear. And we'd also like to thank Dungeon Fog for supporting tonight's game by providing map assets and tools which bring the game to life on the Roll20 virtual tabletop. And if you'd like to become a friend of the Playhouse, then please support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can gain access to exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. The party doctor performs an autopsy on the body of the vicar, which seems to release some of the ghostly white fog which causes visions of an ancient sovereign in a faraway land. The body of the vicar suddenly comes back to life and seems to want to carry off the doctor. After dealing with the reanimated corpse violently, the investigators find themselves barred from the pub and back onto the streets in the fog. There, they make their way to the church of the deceased reverend and succeed in terrifying a bricklayer making repairs to the stricken church. Frog-marching the unfortunate man into the church, the doctor of the party vanishes into the mist. Now, it's time to pull back the curtain and roll the dice.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Hammersmith Haunted, this fantastic tale by Cat Clay. Joining me tonight, we have some fantastic investigators. We're down one investigator, and we'll find out why in just a moment. So if we can say hello to our investigators, ladies first.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lydia, and I'm playing Darian Sterling, a wine-loving dilettante.
And hello, everybody. I'm T.A. Newman, and I'm playing Kirk McDougall, who is an occult expert and somewhat brilliant investigator.
Brilliant investigator, as you've ended up in a pub and somehow made a body come back to life. I think you scared the locals about demons, and
yes, there was
a talk of blasphemy, and are you going to save us from the demons, sir? Mm. But you find yourselves now, in true investigator style, terrorizing a chap you've met in a churchyard. You first thought he was a ghost. He thought you were a ghost. And now you picked him up, frog-marched him to the doors of the church. You have noticed that the doctor's been a bit slack and let his feet go, so you've had to drag this poor boy up to the very front of the church. And, well, Let's take it from there, folks. You're in this churchyard. It's this cloying mist, this fog, this ethereal vapour that you think is something otherworldly. Very much as you drag this poor, fretting gentleman. What are the thoughts going through your mind as you approach this old church?
Darian likes to think the best of people, but he is still a little bit suspicious as to why a bricklayer would be out at this time of night.
Kirk automatically thinks the worst of people and is incredibly suspicious of this bricklayer who is out at this time of night and this bloody fog just won't lift. Dr. Marquette! I'm kind of swinging with my cane in the air, trying to break the mist a little bit just to get some sight, just shouting out down the path.
There is an eerie silence. There is no doctor? Sign of the doctor at all.
Doctor, I say, doctor, are you here?
The doctor is nowhere to be found. But this gentleman is protesting. He's like, oh, look, let it go. Oh, I don't want to do you no harm, but I think we got off onto the wrong foot. Why are you stalking around a churchyard at this time of night?
Why are you stalking around a churchyard at this time of night?
You're bloody right.
I'll work here.
Well, that's no excuse to be here in the middle of the night. Don't give us that poppycock, you bloody fool. What are you doing here in the middle of the night?
Well, all right, I don't work here at the night, sir.
Ah.
But I have to work here at night, sir. You know, it's kind of, well, it all went a bit pear-shaped, you know. Look, will you put me down, please, sir? I'll tell you all about it. I'm an honest fella, and, well, you know, I know you're a gentleman and everything like that. So how about start again, eh?
Right.
Well, we have all the time in the world to have a chat once we get inside. I'd really rather be out of this fog, and then we must go and find the doctor.
Quite right, Darian.
He must be following us.
Quite right. Inside. Darian, you would accompany this chap inside, or do you want to go find the doctor?
Oh, hold on a second. You're not going to get in without my keys. Hold on. Put down. Would you like to put the gentleman down?
Yeah.
Marvellous. Oh, right. Okay.
It's still in like a not forceful, not like an aggressive physical way, but in like a socially intimidating, like, don't you think about it, pal.
They're still in stand this from you. Close proximity, sir, can I suggest then?
Yes, you can.
Yes. He takes out one of those good old church keys, big long keys, slips it into the lock, and it turns and it creaks. And, this is what we're looking at. Looking at in you come. It's been a bit quiet since the Reverend, passed away. Really,
funny story about Reverend passing away. But don't worry about that now. Let's continue. Dr. Marquette, is the door open? Did we leave the door open to the church?
The door is indeed open. Let me just take you over to roll 20. And we'll take a look at this church. So you are coming into this entrance here. And there is a few candles dotted around. But you can see it's in a state of, well, probably in a state of mourning, to be fair. It's dark. It's cold. There is this kind of dampness about it. Not usually associated with churches, so... Are you entering into the church? If so, how far are you going into? If you want to move your mouse, I think you can ping.
I think
you
probably
like
to the first
be.
pew that we can see.
Sit chappy down.
So then we're in the cross section of the natural kind of crucifix of the actual building. So we've got a good scope. We can see around us. I think,
don't know about you, Darian, but I fancy a bloody good spot hidden.
Let's have our first roll of the night, and let's hit me with a spot hidden, please.
Oh, I'm going to use some luck, I think, please.
Just tad luck there, is that right?
Yeah, so I rolled a 27 over 25 because looking and spotting is not my forte, but I am going to use a little bit of luck.
How is Darian getting on there?
Good, because I'm following on from last week's failures as well, and that's 61 against 55. So that's a fail.
Okay, well, in this church, as I say, it's dimly lit by candle. When you go into this sort of church, you expect a peace, a serenity, and as you look around, as your eyes get accustomed to the dark, two sorts of things spring out to you more than anything else. You notice there is the vestry, but the vestry door is open for some reason. You also notice there is a entrance to the bell tower. Again, it's open for some reason. But you have this huffing, puffing gentleman. He says, right, now we are in my place of work. My name is Jonathan Smith. I am a bricklayer. And you have interrupted my very important work. I'll have you know. It's a bit embarrassing, but you don't look like the people who are going to take no for an answer, are you?
No. I mean, absolutely not.
Certainly not.
Ooh, okay, look. Promise you won't tell nobody, though.
We promise.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, well, it's been a bit weird round. We've sort of like, we were doing some stuff up, doing the church up, you know, and make sure everything was right. And then there was this like, well, we found this hole And then this all got bigger. And then, you know, it was kind of like, it's right under the church tower. And well, everybody's going to think I messed up. Everybody's think it's going to be my fault if this church falls down. So I've just been coming up here when, you know, it's been a bit quiet and doing the work, putting it back, making sure it's all good, because you'll get all sorts come around here. I mean, there's this bloke who like looks for rat bones and everything like that. You might have seen him down the pub, but you know, I've got to shore this thing up. I don't know what's down in the hole. I don't really want to find out myself, to be honest. But it's kind of like it's a bit of professional pride, if you know what I mean. You know professional pride, don't you, sir?
Darian, who has never worked a day in his life, looks slightly blank at this point.
Yes, 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 we do, don't we, Darian? Professional pride, and
yes.
I, with my my many fans of my writings, yes, yes, of course, young Jonathan, Johnny, little Johnny Smith. Listen, Smithy, where you say there's a hole under the church?
Yeah. Well,
Is this metaphorical church speak, or is this an actual hole?
Well, I don't know, sir. Like I say, it's just this hole. It was, you know, a few bricks, and then it turned into a bit of an hole, and could it be affecting the building's foundations? And
right.
Like I say, I'm slowly putting it back together.
And we're talking beneath the church. How would you get to this? Do I walk outside to it, or is it down a cellar, or where is this hole?
I don't know if it even connects to the church, or it's just a bit of well, I'll take you around the side if you want to see it, but we've only just got inside.
Yeah, there's no rush. The hole's not going anywhere.
You don't think your doctor fell down the hole, do you?
Oh, I do hope not. Perhaps it's a sewer line or something, or one of those new underground trains, perhaps something settled. Oh dear. I do hope she hasn't come to mischief.
There's some pretty good rocks underneath this church. Be a shame if they ran the Hammersmith line through here, but you know. But I guess we'll find out in about a few years' time. Anyway. What would you like to do with this chap? He has suggested that the doctor might have fallen down the hole outside, which he has been trying to repair, lest the church fall down upon him and everybody. And he would get the blame and obviously get fired, which is not what a young Smithy wants to hear. So, actions, folks.
Well, I think we're going to need to go and check out the hole, aren't we? But before we go, can I ask, you said that the church felt kind of damp. Does it look like it hasn't been used for a while, that dampness, or is that just because we're in creepy?
Okay. Do you have any kind of history roll or something like that?
What have I got? History. No, just base history 5.
Oh, I've got a lot of history.
Natural world or anything?
Okay. I mean, would you like to exclaim to, gosh, this
Darian, did you
a little bit damp?
There was wet walls and whatnot.
Yes, it's very it doesn't quite feel right, does it? It feels sort of wet.
Yeah, bizarre, isn't it? And all with these open doors everywhere. Let me just have a little think.
I have natural world, if that's of any help.
Well, if you would like to give me a natural world and Kirk McDoodle would like to give me a history roll, that would be very useful. Oh, Kirk.
Oh, Darian.
So, Darian, how is your natural world?
Unnatural. It's 81 against 40, sadly.
Okay, the red continues. Kirk, how about your history roll?
I think it's going to go down in history. It's an extreme success, a 5 under 60.
Oh, good man.
Fantastic. Well, Kirk, you've visited these kind of churches before, and you know that usually when, you know, there's an accumulation of damp, usually means the building's bigger. Usually means there's some sort of source probably underneath. You've been to particular churches that are sitting on a hilltop, they go down and, you know, there's the water table, it evaporates into the church and can cause problems like that. So they kind of have to seal it up. This would suggest to you that there is an underground chamber beneath this church, which has probably been unsealed.
Smithy, you say that there's this hole here. Dowling has pointed out the dampers on the walls, and I'd suggest what with the size of the place, the water tables, the dampness. Are there rooms? Have you ever seen the underneath the church here? What's actually here?
I haven't, when we were doing it all up, sir, we just wanted to fill it in. I mean, do you think there's something underneath the church then, sir? Because the whole thing might collapse. That wouldn't be good at all.
If it's pre-built rooms beneath the church, I wouldn't suggest it would collapse. Although if it does, it probably would be your fault, Smithy. But
my lord, I'm going
No. Not a place to start praying to your lord, Smithy. Come on now. I would argue that what you need to do is think about the structure. If there are rooms built under here, then they're pre-built. That means there's a foundation, but a foundation that's not been found. A hidden foundation, some might say. Perhaps, Darian, your idea of eye-spying the hole might be a grand maneuver.
So perhaps this church was built on something else. Is that what you're driving at?
Yes. And in many cultures, when a room or a tomb is sealed, it's often because of occult reasons. So this might be right up my street, Darian.
My goodness. Well, I suggest we find the hole and see if Dr. Marquette is down there and go and look for her and then investigate this foundation. Perhaps she found another way in. Perhaps she's down there.
Sounds like a fine plan. Smithy?
I hope she's not dead. Climbing, so that'd be the second body I've found this week.
Second? You poor man.
What was the first?
So you found the vicar?
Yeah, I said we were working and I'll go to say cheerio, Gov. We're finishing for the day and he's dead. And he points with a trembling finger over there in the vestry.
In the vestry?
Yeah.
Is this where he died the first time?
Hey, you've lost me, sir.
It's a long story, Mr. Smith.
Well, I call overkill. Let's check out the vestry first, shall we? Just a quick scan around.
Yes, that's, so when you found him, how did you find him? He was on the floor. Did it look like some kind of natural death, or what do you think happened?
Well, usually their heart stops. That usually does a trick. But he was at the desk. It was like he just stopped. He was just taken. I mean, I thought what a lovely, peaceful way it was for him to go. And then, when all the fog started appearing, I thought, hey, up. And maybe his passing has somehow cursed the building. And I've got to fix it quick before it falls down. That was my thinking anyway.
Well, nobody can doubt your work ethic, Mr. Smith.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
There wasn't any fog in the vestry, though, was there, Smithy?
No.
Just around the church and Hammersmith, and
I didn't notice anything in the vestry. So it was just the vestry,
Did this fog start appearing after the vicar died? I mean, I know the old pea soupers are fairly common anyway at this time of year, but this is rather different sort of fog, isn't it?
I think you might be right there, sir. Yeah, because I remember we come up, we did the survey and everything like this, and then we found the hole. I don't know what caused the hole, and then we found a vicar spark out. Yeah, and then I think you're right, sir. Do you think it's all connected then, sir?
I fear it may be, Mr. Smith. I fear it may be, and this. Strange young lady who's been seen about, this white lady.
I haven't seen nobody except that snoopy old bone man.
The rat bone man.
Surprised he didn't bump into me in the pub. He's always down there selling his... Would you like a necklace of rat bones?
Turn to Darian quickly and quietly. Just go, Darian, did we meet a creepy old rat bone man?
I think I would have remembered if I'd met a creepy rat bone man.
I think I would have remembered too if I'd met a creepy old rat bone man. You didn't see Dr. Marquette talking to a creepy old rat bone man, did you?
Again, I feel it's the kind of thing she might have mentioned, old sport.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, well.
Shall we put that on the list? Find creepy old rat bone man.
Mystery. Bizarre hole in the ground. Blame Smithy creepy for old. Everything. Creepy old rat bone
creepy
man.
Old rat
hey,
man.
What's this? Yes.
Gotcha. Nothing.
We have a plan.
Oh, blimey.
Don't you worry yourself, Mr. Smith. You lead on.
Into the vestry. You first, just in case there's anything in there, Smithy.
Right.
Ignore him. It's just his way.
Thank you, sir. He does lead you just across the way into the vestry and the vicar's office. As you walk across, there's an echo. Slightly more echo than you would think. You breathe this dampness. It's very much present. If one of you looks around, did you close the church door? Or is some of the fog starting to seep in? But let's pay no heed to that as you step into the vicar's office. This is very, very neat. It is a good laid out church office. There is various letters and everything like that. How would you like to proceed? What precisely are you hoping to find in the vicar's office?
Well, if this was where he was found dead, then there might be some information about what happened to make him die. You know, maybe there's something on his desk.
Big did he have spider, a shock
or something?
Snake.
Yeah, big spider, snake, that kind of thing. Something that Darian can take home and make of a pet, you know.
Good.
But maybe he read something, gave him a shock,
I think
that kind of thing.
Kirk's more of a mind to look at the what was leading up to the event. Was there anything that he was studying? Was there a sermon he was preparing? Was there a letter from someone? Was there a correspondence? He's looking more of the what led up, what could have led up, what could have put the vicar in a situation where his heart just stopped, apparently, according to Smith.
Well, as true mythos investigators, let's have our favourite roles. Who wants to do the spot hidden? Who wants to do the library use?
Ooh, well, I have 55 spot hidden, and I don't think I've got much better in library use.
I've got 70 in library use, but my spot hidden is terrible.
Okay. Yep, I only have 20 for library.
If I was to rate myself, Darian, as a 0 to 100... skill, I'd say probably about 70th percentile for life.
Very well educated, aren't you?
Oh, crikey, O'Reilly. There we go. Some luck, keeper. I got a 71 over 70, so I'm going to spend a
keep
luck.
That luck coming.
Although, Darian's got his eyes peeled and he's got an extreme success of 2 against 55.
It is a great set of information then. So, first thing you find is a great tome. It's fairly unremarkable. It's a hefty leather-bound copy of Martin Luther's 1995 thesis. With that extreme spot hidden, you know that these would fit a few sheets of paper, not an entire book. So, one would assume you open it out to reveal hollowed out pages which hold a few items. There is an iron crypt key, a note which I shall hand you shortly, and a piece of Latin text. And let me give you the note found in the office. So, if Kirk, this is what you find. Please, could you read the details there?
uncovered these in the building site. Must verify these findings with my colleagues at the A Priori Club. Could be quite the sensation, if it is true.
If it is true. Now then, Darian, are you holding these, this manuscript?
Oh, yes, certainly. I think he opens it up and he shows the gap, the where the thing has been hollowed out. I say, a secret hiding place in a book. Who would think of such a thing? My word.
So now we're going to ask one of you to give me a Latin roll.
Oh, Latin, like my mother tongue. It's the language of the occultists. Darian, is Latin something you speak?
Oh, no, nothing beyond Veni, Vidi, Vici, I'm afraid.
I came as where I conquered. Touché, mon frère. Right, let's have a little looky here. I say, speak the language. Obviously, that was a joke in itself. It being a dead language, we only read it these days, but...
I would have thought speaking to dead people in dead languages would have been rather up your alley, old bean.
Absolutely. Quite the pair we make, Darian. I'm enjoying this somewhat. Very good. Smithy, what are you doing over there?
I'm just standing by the door, so I don't want to come in.
Yeah, you better stand there, Smithy.
That's where I found him. Right there, looking through that big book.
Smithy, I completely understand this Latin text here with a 19 over 55. That's a hard success, Smithy.
Fantastic. Now then, we have a hard success in your Latin. So...
is it in Latin? Do I have to translate it in?
It is not in Latin. Kat plays fantastic module here.
Thank
gives
you,
it to you in very clear language. Ooh. So, Kirk, if I could ask you to please read this.
Okay, so
text.
This is a very beautiful looking document. It's got some very significant kind of stamp seals, some iconography. There is a gold filigree kind of crest, a cross rather, over a red square. Beneath that, there are three black and gold symbols, one of which is a almost like a pagan symbol with dots in it, but I'm sure it's not. One of which is a golden crown with a black background, and the other is two gold fleur-de-lis over two black corners. And then the other two corners of that same square almost look like four-leaf clovers. You understand that's my description and not actually what we're seeing, but that should give a visual representation. The words, the Latin words, Darian, Smithy, you could learn something here. I write these words as a warning to all of what took place almost 30 years ago when I was a young man. A group of honorable knights were tasked with defeating an evil witch who lurked in the forest surrounding Estergom in St. Stephen's Holy Principality of Hungary. The woman who lived in a forest that was constantly shrouded in fog. None dared to walk the paths near her home until one day the son of a local lord wandered too far on a hunting trip and he was never seen alive again. I have faced... we tracked his path through the forest and uncovered his body. The eyes as white as snow. The trail he had been following led towards a hidden castle, shrouded in vapor, not listed on any of the maps known to man. I have faced hardened warriors on the battlefields of the Crusades, but none have borne the face of evil like that woman who sat upon the throne of what we called the Castle of Mist. We lost Chevalier Vauquelin to the madness she inspired, an all-consuming power that convinces men to serve her devilry. She appears as a beautiful maiden, and yet her true visage is one of the ghouls of hell. Her hair, a whip which grasps man in her clutches. Yet, the Almighty gave us strength that day. We pierced her heart with a blessed spear and locked her dying body away in a coffin without the last rites. Our leader was called to bring her body to England, the sacred ground blessed by one who is favorable to our cause. As for the she-devil, her name is Diafrith. I write it here so none may forget that evil. God help us all if she breaks loose once more. My God.
Quite the words you have read there.
Darian, rather alarming, don't you think?
Really rather alarming, but... knights at the Crusades. Templars?
Did I mention to you that what I saw when we killed the vicar for the second time?
Well, I couldn't...
Don't worry really yourself, Smithy. Don't worry yourself.
Terribly much sense of it, but remind me.
I saw. I can tell you what I saw. I was drawn across a sea, a throng of people towards a place of worship. Cosmos was spinning. There was a place of warmth. There was a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman, Darius. What it says here in the text.
Yes.
She was commanding. I was drawn to her. There seemed to be a truth beyond this mystery, and I found myself bowing to this woman. And I felt this sense of time, this period, this Ottoman Empire. But Templars, Darian, Templars is what stuck out to me. And this
yes. Yes.
And as you say these words, Kirk, as you're reminded of this vision you have had, could I get a power roll from Kirk and Darian, please?
Oh, bugger.
Another failure for Kirk and his power roll. Heavens above. What was that score there, Kirk, please?
Oh, just a mere 83 over 40. Nothing too serious.
Keep trying. There's a fumble in there if you want it hard enough. However, Darian, what is your power roll?
Well, huzzah. Hard success of 17 against 45. I'm afraid I think she's rather barking up the wrong tree if she's looking to ensnare me, if you get my meaning.
Absolutely. But Kirk, maybe these knights got it wrong. You have first-hand experience of being there at this feet of this majesty, of this powerful woman who's commanding armies. And these Templars, well, you know the history of the Templars, going in, into areas, conquering stuff, setting up some kind of monetary system, which swindled lots of people. It was probably about time that somebody just rose up and wiped them all out. That's kind of the way you're leaning towards at the moment, Kirk. But tell me your thoughts as you read these words, which, yeah, sit odd with you. You feel there's a little bit more to this than meets the eye.
Seems to me that these knights, they found this woman, this beautiful woman, and then, what did they accuse her of, being a demon or some such? Or perhaps she was a demon, and you know, there are such things. They do exist, regardless of what people say, and she bewitched people. It says they lost this Chevalier Vaquelin to madness. Was this her inspiring this? The power of this demon?
That's quite a power, isn't it, Kirk? All through your life, you've been looking for this occult power. Maybe this is the real deal.
As for the she-devil, her name is Diafrith. Do I know that name, Keeper? Has that come across in any of the studies that I have either made, written?
I'll be generous, as all Keepers should be. If you'd like to give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Ah, perfect.
Wait a second.
Wait a second, I don't have any Cthulhu Mythos.
Oh, there we go. You can give me an... I'm going to be generous here. I would need a critical occult roll to get any traction on this.
Come
By
on,
all
Kirk.
Means, put you in
got
the ballpark.
This. Smithy, hold on to your pants. Oh, bugger.
It's a regular success. This
Can
isn't...
I use 39 points of luck? No, I'm joking.
I will steal your luck in any way I can. So by all means, if you would like to push that...
No, I'm not for it. I need to get a 0-1. The only sensible option, although if I pushed it, no, because I'd fail. Then it'd be
yes.
Horrible.
Yeah,
can I,
dreadful would happen.
Can I ask Keeper, or perhaps should I say suggest Keeper, that... Even so, I've got a success there. I've got a 40 over 55. Can I suggest that the fact that I've got a success and I still don't stumble upon the name, that tells me that this is either an incredibly unique, hidden figure, or that it's nonsense and doesn't exist?
Yes, you can totally rule out that this name, this legend, this particular tale has not been recorded in any writing that you know of. Maybe you should write a book about this tale. It would be sure to be a bestseller, so you should maybe get more familiar with this story of the Diafrith. And, well, you've had visions. Maybe she is calling to you. Maybe she wants you to make her known again.
I think I'm going to fold up this piece of paper very gently and carefully, because obviously it's so incredibly old, and I'm going to put it very nicely within some other pages or a handkerchief or something, care for it as best as I can, and I'm going to pocket it.
Right. Darian, you see Kirk the occultist pocketing this pretty rare and ancient piece of paper. Maybe you should be taking more care of it. This does seem a little odd, even for the eccentricities of one Kirk MacDougall.
I say, Kirk, not to tell you your business, of course. I should never do that, but it does look terribly old. Do you really think that putting it in a pocket, or indeed taking it out of here, is the best thing to do? I mean, it's not exactly yours, is it?
What are you suggesting, Darian? Are you accusing a gentleman of something here? I feel grieved.
Of course not.
Whatever you're suggesting here. I'm simply borrowing the document, you understand, for my research. It's like a library. Do you really think the vicar would attest to me taking this historical document? Yes, okay, you're right. Perhaps I should take better care of this. And I'm going to go and just grab what I think is a non-corresponding book or ledger or something that is a bit more protective, put it out, lay out the Templar document in it, and then fold it closed so that it's much more protected. And see, Dariel, see, I look after it, and then I'll return it much like I would a book to the library. You don't need to panic. Isn't that right, Smithy?
Whatever you say, sir. I don't mind. I mean, I think the vicar was going to take it to a priory club.
Yes, well, I'll probably end up...
Yeah, apparently they're experts in this sort of thing, sir.
Quite right, and after I've done my due diligence with it, Darian, I no doubt will take it to the priory club in the name of the vicar, in his memory.
Well, I mean, surely it belongs exactly where it was found, which is to say, here.
Well, if we left everything where it was exactly found, Darian, no one would know anything about the world we live in. No one would be.
It's true. The British Museum would be rather empty.
Exactly.
You do have a point there.
The British Museum is held up as a star of civilization for borrowing artifacts and promising to return them at a later date.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you leave it here for the moment, and then when we've sorted all this out and when we've put a stop to whatever this strange woman is doing, and more importantly, once we've found Dr. Marquette, perhaps you can come back and do a little study tour of Hammersmith.
Yes, quite right, Darian. Quite right. Right. Let's crack on and find Dr. Marquette. Go on, lead the way.
Good. So you're leaving the book here.
Kirk? Keeper, am I? Do I have my faculties to make this decision independently?
You do have your faculties. Absolutely, you're just having a leaning towards this great opportunity. And as you hold the single candle, actually, let's have a luck roll. Let's see who's holding the single candle illuminating this room.
The luck roll, I say.
Oh, 25 points of luck is all I have.
So as Kirk is holding the singular candle illuminating this study, and Darian is able to say, go along then. You are leaving the book, aren't you, Kirk?
Oh, yes, very good, very good. Holding the candle out, illuminating the way forward with my other arm, with the ledger and the particular Templar letter. Oh, yes, very good. I'll leave it there for the dead vicar, of course I will. Let's go and find Dr. Marquette. Yeah? Probably lost in the mist. Doctor!
Good. Darian, are you checking at all for anybody, leaving anything behind, or are you trusting a gentleman?
I trust a gentleman, definitely.
Jolly good.
Who bloody right.
You step back out into the church. Your footsteps echo once more, and you gaze over and you have not closed the church door. There is an eeriness now entering this church from outside. There's been a change in the air. You feel it.
We've noticed the door to the bell tower is open as well, isn't it?
The door to the bell tower was indeed open, yes.
Did Smith say that the hole was near the bell tower? Am I remembering rightly?
This is correct, yes. He's afraid that should the hole increase in size, the entire church tower could collapse right. over, in on itself, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm. I really think we should close that door, Kirk.
The door to the bell tower? Or the door to the outside?
The outside.
Are we not going outside to check on the hole?
Well, I think we should close it behind us.
Well, keep the church free of the fog, is that what you're saying?
Yes, precisely.
Yeah, I think you're right. Go and close the door.
Sorry, sir, did you want me to close the door?
Oh, yes, Smithy. That would be wonderful if you could close the door for us.
If you would, Mr. Smith.
I mean, good man. If you don't need me, I'll be off. If you like, I'll close the door on my way out.
Are you quite sure that you want to go walking through the streets? Wouldn't you rather stay here, just where it's warm and where it's light?
And don't disappear yet, Smithy. We need you to show us where the hole is. Once you've shown us where that is, we can excuse you and...
All right then, sir. You drive our bargain.
Just one second, Smithy. Darian, we need
and you
to
hear
be
a
very...
big clunk as the church door closes.
What happens to the fog when that happens in the room that seeped in?
The fog no longer enters, but fog no longer dissipates. There is a hanging layer in the church. It's there.
Quite unlike normal fog, then.
Quite unlike Very normal fog, but as you watch, it eventually disperses. Now, whether or not it is evaporating, or maybe it's like a liquid just filling its container completely, you're not entirely sure. But there is a closed door to the church exit on one side and a slightly ajar door to the church tower. What would you like to do?
Darian, do you think we need to check the bell tower before we go out to the hole, or...?
Well, it's nice and high, isn't it? If we could maybe get above this fog. I mean, I don't know how high up it goes, but if it hugs the ground, perhaps we might be able to see some trace of where Dr. Marquette went.
Very good, Darian. Very good. Smithy,
Yes, sir.
Mind staying down here, would you, in case our friend, the good doctor, knocks on the door?
Oh, well, that's a good idea. So, yeah, I'll stay down here. I don't mind. I'll just sit here and, well, I like to have a flick through the prayer book, to be honest. There's some nice imagery in there. It's kind of pretty. I'll be here, right as rain, sir.
But if the good doctor raps on the door, you'll be sure to let them in and close it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no problems. I'll be a perfect gentleman. Let them in. So I'll be here then. So and then I can go once I've shown you the hole, right? Yeah?
Yes, very good.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Of course you can, but I'd feel so much better if you'd wait until Madame Ethel was passing this way again, and just so that you have an escort on your way home.
Yes.
I try and avoid Madame Ethel as much as I can because she's rather trigger happy, but I do appreciate your thought for my safety there, sir. Thank you.
Very good. Right, Darian, onward and upwards.
Quite literally.
Let's ask that leading question. Who's going first?
Smithy, are you coming with? No. I think Kirk will probably realize, because he's holding the candle, he's got to make a choice. He either gives the candle to Darian to go first, or he goes first with the candle. And I think
there are a couple of other candles if you want to grab.
Yeah,
Darian.
Well, I'll grab a candle.
Grab yourself a candle.
Marks. Absolutely. Well, Darian's got con 50, so he's not overly athletic, but he can take stairs, no problem.
Name is Kirk. Listen, old pal, all for one and one for all with the team here, but you go first.
Jolly good.
Very well. Let's go.
You make your way up this 1, 2, 3, 4 flights of stairs. So 1, 2, 3, 4, it goes anti-clockwise. And there is a rather large bell at the top. And some fresh air. And this actually feels fresh for a change. You feel a slight lift in the presence. It appears you've risen above the fog. Now, there are small windows out to the side. There's a bell. There's this bell rope. And it just feels different to you. There is a smell of fresh air coming in through these slits. And the rope just sways briefly in the wind. Breeze rather than wind. Yes.
Just pop to, and I'm probably asking Darian to do the same, or we're probably both just naturally doing the same thing, but just popping to the windows, not only to look down upon the mist, obviously we're going to be looking for Dr. Marquette, but also we're looking for the hole, just to pop eyes on it and see geographically where it is from where we are.
Fantastic.
And also if there's anything else of note that we can see.
Okay.
Like a beautiful woman.
Who would like to take... You have options of windows. You have the north window, east window, and west window. Who would like to take which window?
We can work our way around them, can't we?
Fair enough. Which window first, then?
Darian?
Well, I might as well start at the north and we'll just work around the building, I suppose.
Okay. Let's have a spot hidden. You are sometimes led to believe that these slits in the church were for arrow holes, so archers could defend churches and as though they were like miniature castles.
But can I ask, what would happen if one were to fumble whilst looking out of the window?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
And
as you do look out, I'll ask you for some spot hidden rolls. So, Darian, what did you get on your spot hidden roll?
That was a normal success of 38 against 55.
As a good roll.
Regular success. And Kirk, you seem to have rolled something different. Please describe your spot hidden.
Well, I have 25 in spot hidden, which is an ample amount to have in a spot hidden skill, scoping out and viewing everything that's happening. But unfortunately, I rolled a 99.
And as we know, if your skill is below 50, 96 to 100 is a fumble. So you are asked, what would a fumbled spot hidden look like if you were approaching a window? Well, fortunately, it's nothing to do with the window. What actually occurs is not spotting hidden. And you know, bell towers are quite cramped in environments. And give me a dexterity roll, please, Kirk. Let's see how you and the stairs get on.
Dexterity. Oh, bugger. Oh, bugger. That's an 84 over 45.
Marvellous. Could you give me a 1d3, please? Let's see what this tumble does to you.
Oh. What tumble? That's a three.
Darian, if it wasn't so painful for Kirk, this could be quite a comical moment. You have a look out of the window. I say, Kirk, look down there. The mist appears to have a current. It appears to be flowing in a direction. Can't say what direction with only a regular success. You could push that roll if you wanted to investigate. But as you make this discovery, you turn around and say, Kirk? And Kirk is nowhere to be found. Kirk is now in a bit of a heap at the bottom of one flight of stairs of the bell tower, having, well, hurt himself quite a bit. You do hear a voice call out, "Are you all right up there? I heard a crash."
Kirk? Kirk, what are you doing down there?
I misplaced my cane, and I seem to have no longer be standing where I was. My back. Oh, God, Darian, back.
Oh, good Lord. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. I'll come down. I'll help you up.
Yes, I can stay where I am. Oh, my back.
How are you doing on hit points, Kirk? I want to assume that wasn't half of them.
No, I am down to 10 out of 14, having lost one in a previous session.
Indeed. Okay. Quite in the wars for this elderly chap.
Oh, yeah, really kind of feeling that bruised ribs, bruised spine muscle is super tender, and it's now almost with every step there is like an aching pang, a reminder of age catching up with me.
What would you like to do, folks?
Darian will pick up the cane from wherever it was, presumably still at the top of the stairs, and make his way carefully down, holding the banister if there is one, or I'm guessing there's some kind of like rope threaded through
rings through on the walls. You know, those really, really useful ones.
Definitely. And carefully watching where he puts his feet, gets down there and tries to help Kirk up. Oh dear. Was it the wine?
Help me up.
It was the wine, wasn't it?
It wasn't the wine. It was the bloody steps. I don't know who made this godfist. It's probably that bloody smithy down there. It is his ilk making ship-shaped bloody stairs with ropes and things. I mean, Christ, what's wrong with the normal bloody stairs with banisters and things? Who puts a rope when there should be a wooden banister?
People wanting to protect medieval buildings, I should think.
Oh, bugger them. They're fools.
You've also heard the fable that steps were made very small to prevent attackers running up them fast.
It may prevent attackers from running up, but it really prevents old buggers from getting down, I can tell you that.
For sure. You are at the bottom of a flight of steps. Do you wish to return to the clock tower, or have you seen what you wish to see?
Did we only look through the northern window?
You have only checked out the north window, yes.
Let's look at the others and also see if we can work out which direction this fog is moving in.
Quite right. The fog's moving, is it?
Yes, it's like... It's like a river, almost. It seems to be...
Come on, then. Help me up.
Some kind of current. All right. One, two, three. Alley. Oops.
Okay.
Oh, that's going to smart in the morning, Kirk. back up the stairs, or is Kirk waiting here?
Oh, back up the stairs.
Back up the stairs. Fantastic.
Gentle fall down the stairs isn't going to stop Kirk.
Okay. Kirk, could you give me a constitution roll? Let's just see how much this hurts.
Bugger. Oh, a lot. That's a 76 out of 50.
Okay. I'm going to say your movement rate is reduced by one for the moment.
Bugger.
But you do eventually return to the very top of the bell tower. And you... let's say you take one window each. One of you looks out to the east side, and you can see there is a bunch of enhanced graves, shall we say. One is being dug, so there may be a service to be held fairly soon. You can see the lantern left over from Smithy that was illuminating his shirt. And over here, on this western side, you can see the... hole, you know, as the fog drifts past, see this hole in the ground, which, well, you're no structural engineer, but certainly the building could collapse if there was a unfortunate disturbance, which the bricklayer is trying to avert. What would you like to do?
About you, Darian, but I think that's the bloody hole. Can you see where the fog is going? Is it?
Can I see where the fog is going?
Let's have a natural world roll, if you wouldn't mind, Darian.
Well, hey, that's a hard success of 14 against 40.
Well, you can see something very strange about this fog. Its ethereal nature is very much brought to bear in this moment. As you realise, this fog is flowing uphill. It appears to be headed towards residential area. Flowing, and then changes and starts flowing away. It seems to be this tide coming in and out with a hard success. It's only fractional, but you can see the outward current is slightly more than the inward current each time. Fractional amount.
Perksy, this. I know that he probably doesn't, does he? Because it's Darian's role.
Darian is making this role. Darian saw the original motion.
Yes.
Now this contrary motion. Yes. But we are going to have a sand check from Darian as they see this clearly unnatural fog.
I think Darian would be describing what he sees, so you would hear what he sees there. A sand check.
Yes, please.
Lovely, lovely sand check.
Okay, it wouldn't be complete without it. Marvellous.
It really wouldn't. A narrow failure of 43 against 40. Spend some luck, but then that would only leave me with
That would drive you mad because
just a
you
bit,
don't usually do luck on sanity checks. That's
of course not. I'll do that.
You can use luck on sand checks in Pop Cthulhu.
There is a ability to be able to do it. Most keepers ignore it because that makes the game no fun at all if you don't drive your people mad. So that is one sanity loss for a Darian, please. This is something very strange. It sends a shiver down your spine, and Kirk, you notice this.
Oh, Darian, all right, old boy. Seems like you got the silly dancers there.
This isn't natural. It's just all wrong. It's like a tidal river, in and out, but it's wrong.
It's Kirk, getting stronger.
Kirk, I don't like this at all. It's just wrong.
You're saying that the fog is moving like the ocean, is it?
I suppose so. It's going up to where the houses are and then heading back, flowing. Fog doesn't flow like this. This isn't fog at all.
You know, when I had that, vision, when we dispatched the vicar again. I felt like I was drawn across a sea, like an ocean. I don't know whether it's relevant. It probably isn't, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Well, I mean, the normal fog, it's worse by the Thames, but not like this.
No, I'm looking at the... And I've completely forgotten that I was trying to hide this from Darian at this point. Mm-hmm. And I pulled out the Templar letter again. And I'm looking at the document, and it... 30 years towards defeating evil, the forest surrounding Estergom, shrouded in fog, and undead. And I can't see anything specifically that relates to oceans or the fog moving
you
in that way.
But there is that castle of mist.
Yes, there is this castle.
And you would draw from this castle surrounded by mist, putting two and two together. Maybe it was the castle emitting the mist.
Hmm.
Maybe, Darian, maybe. Castle in mist.
And for some reason, your thoughts drift back to your loved ones. This realization that there is something here, something in this church. If you are to believe the letters, something has been released. Something is here. Its name could be the Diaphrith. Kirk, what are your thoughts about your loved ones, or indeed your departed loved ones? What do they make of this situation you find yourself in?
Well, it would be my dearly departed grandmother. Wonderful woman when she wanted to be. But there was no love lost towards the end, and I, not my proudest moment, but I took matters into my own hand. Just convincing myself, reminding myself, I did not kill her. I didn't see her off, but I, as a younger man, dabbled in a little something here and there, and from a certain book. And this is why I am reading these Templar notes with all seriousness and due care. This diaphragm is more than meets the eye, because I, with a grimoire, cursed my grandmother. And I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence that she, she wasn't with us much longer after that.
Darian, as you see this unnaturalness, what thoughts are there of your loved ones?
Darian is kind of twisting his hands together, and he's sort of fiddling with the signet ring that he wears. I was going to do it, but you can't really see. On his left hand, he's got a signet ring, which is maybe a little bit too big for him. It's because it's not his. It belongs to his lover, Augustine. And they live together in a very nice apartment in Mayfair. Apartment is full of cats, dogs, birds. He really wants to get a goat, but Augustine won't let him. It would really be lovely in the garden, he thinks, but no, that's just one step too far. It's the only thing that they've ever really argued about, the fact that Darian wants to get a pet goat and Augustine has said no. And he's really, really worried about this fog, even though Mayfair is a very long way from Hammersmith. There are no borders for a fog. It doesn't matter what part of town you're in. This thing, this devil, witch, spirit, whatever you want to call her, she'll be everywhere, from Bethnal Green to Whitechapel to Mayfair. It's no respecter of anything. And he's really, really worried.
And this moment of worry falls upon our investigators as the gong sounds to mark the end of Act 3 of the Hammersmith Haunting. Join us again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Act 3 of The Hammersmith Haunting by Kat Clay. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please leave a review wherever you've watched or listened to this production. And if you'd like to support us further, please take a look at our Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, and our website, miskatonicplayhouse.com. You can find us on all social media platforms with links found in the show notes. Until next time, when the curtain rises again.